this evening, we want to look at verses 19 and 20. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your word and for the truths of it. We thank you, Father, that it's so applicable to our everyday lives. And God, we pray that your Spirit might enable us to discern exactly how we ought to apply this to our own lives. And Father, we pray that your Spirit might be our teacher this evening. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in the book of James, we've been studying the subject of trials or testings and also temptations, depending upon the outlook of the individual. A trial, from God's perspective, is that situation that God has allowed in our lives to bring us closer to Him, to perfect us, that we might be lacking nothing in our Christian walk and maturity. But from our perspective, sometimes when the flesh is in control, rather than looking at it as a testing and a trial of our faith, we sometimes look at it as a temptation to sin. And now we want to see in verses 19 and 20, James is telling us what our attitude ought to be towards the Word of God, especially during trials and testings. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." Now he's talking here about hearing the Word of God. Notice in verse 18, he says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth." It's by the truth of this gospel message that we were begotten of God, that we were born again. And now in the very next verse, James tells us that we need to be swift to hear. To hear what? To hear that word. Look on in verse 22. He says, "Be doers of the word." So James here is speaking about the word of God, and especially obedience to the word, listening to the word, in light of trials and temptations. So verse 19 is not simply a passage that has been thrown in there, and many have interpreted many verses in the book of James as if they had no relationship to the context. Well, James here is speaking about trials and testings, and therefore he begins verse 19 with the word "wherefore," which connects it with all that has gone on, all that he has said before. In light of the fact that the Word of God regenerates us, pay attention to it. Be swift to hear. That's what he's saying in verse 19. He's saying, you know that the Word of God is powerful. You know that the Word of God is life-giving. In light of this, pay attention to it. Listen to what it says. Be swift to hear. Since God is the giver of all good gifts, since God is the giver of life itself, since God is the giver of eternal life, and not death, but life, therefore, pay attention to the words of life. Be swift to hear. Let's look at these three phrases individually. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. First of all, James says, be swift to hear. Be ready. Be eager to receive the Word of God and obey it. That's what he's getting at. When you hear the Word of God, when I hear the Word of God, we ought to be eager. We ought to be just itching to hear more truth from the Word of God so that we can apply it to our lives and obey it. The Word of God is in view here. Now, he's not simply talking about hearing it with our physical ears. Anybody can hear the Word of God. So often in the Bible, when the Bible writers use such terms, they mean something more than simply hearing this truth. It means to receive it, to understand it, and to apply it to our lives and to obey it. Many people can hear with their ears, but that's not what James is getting at. Because oftentimes we hear with one ear and without the other ear, and it never settles down into the heart. That is what James is referring to here. And especially when we're going through trials and testings. Now, the first century believers did not have the scriptures as we do. The first century believers weren't able to go home with their beautifully covered Bible as we have. I couldn't have said that a few weeks ago before I got here. But they weren't able to take a copy of the scriptures home and read it anytime they wanted to. And they counted it a great privilege to be able to gather together and hear God's word spoken to them. And so James is saying, especially when we're in trials, we need to be swift to hear. We need to be eager to hear God's word. And in the first century, many of the apostles and prophets, before the word of God was even completed, they traveled from one assembly to another, and they taught the word of God. And James is saying that when these men come, they preach the word of God, we as Christians need to be eager and ready to receive it. When we read the Bible on our own, in our own quiet time with the Lord, are we eager to really hear? Are we really swift to hear what God has to say? Or do we simply breeze through it to get through our certain number of chapters every day and to run out the door? You see, that really is not hearing the Word of God. James here is not speaking simply about hearing the words or seeing the letters on the written page. Hearing refers to hearing it not only with the ears but with the heart. You know, we need to be swift to hear in our own private time with the Lord, to receive the Word of God. Do we listen when God speaks? When we read the Scriptures, are we really hearing God's Word to you, to me? How about when we hear God's Word spoken in a Sunday school class? Or God's Word spoken in a worship service? Are we really hearing these things? Is this truth really not only just passing through our ears, but is it settling down into our hearts? That's what it means to be swift to hear. You know what's amazing? God hears us every day. God is listening to His children 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. God is always listening. There's never a time when we can't go to God and not have the absolute assurance that He is hearing our prayers. Unless, of course, we're living in sin. But God hears us. Ought we not to hear Him? You know, if we really love the one that is speaking to us, we'll be eager to hear. If we really love the one that is speaking to us, we will be swift to hear. Do you remember back when you were dating your spouse, how eagerly you wanted to get together and talk about different things? You were eager to hear one another. You were swift. You loved the individual and you wanted to be with the individual, and therefore you were swift to hear. You know, sometimes in our marriages, after we've grown accustomed to our mate, sometimes we're not quite so swift to hear anymore. And sometimes there's a lot of talking going on, but there's not much communication going on. There shouldn't be a difference between the time when you were dating and your relationship and your marriage now, except for this. It should be better. There should be more communication. You should be more swift to hear and understand and really want to know what your partner is trying to communicate to you. You know, there's a lot more to communication than simply making noise. Sometimes your spouse may be trying to communicate something to you and it just doesn't seem to sink in. Oh, you've heard the words. Or perhaps this communication isn't even made with words. Perhaps your spouse is trying to tell you something, but he or she is afraid to put it in words and is just trying to get this message to you somehow. We need to be swift to hear. We need to be eager for this communication to take place. And you know, your children as well. Sometimes children aren't so eager to speak things that are really disturbing them and are on their minds. And parents, you have a responsibility to be swift to hear. They may be trying to send you messages and we need to be swift to hear. You know what the point is? That we need to pay attention to relationships. When we pay attention to relationships, then true communication will take place. And that's what James is saying. If our relationship to God is right, if our relationship to the Lord is as it ought to be, then there's going to be true communication. God wants to communicate to us all the time. Here's His Word. It's available 24 hours a day. But very often, we're not swift to hear. If we take care of the relationship, our relationship with the Lord, there can be some great communication between Almighty God and you. James goes on in verse 18 to say, in verse 19, "My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak." Slow to speak. Now, this does not mean we should all try and develop a southern drawl. That's not what James is getting at. But it means to be slow to speak. And remember the context here. He's talking here about brethren who are in trials and testings of our faith. And he reminded us that we were born again by the Word of God, and we need to hear the Word of God. And when we're in a trial, and when we hear God's Word, we need to be slow to speak. In other words, we ought not to react quickly and rashly to what we hear from God's Word. We ought not to speak out without thinking things over very carefully. You know, that's what children do. You might tell your child something, and, oh, he's got a million reasons why he can't do it, and he's got all kinds of answers back for you, but believers are not to imitate children. We are to be slow to speak. And remember, he's talking here about speaking to God. We need to be slow to speak. God made the ears, and he gave us all two of them. But he only gave us one tongue. He only gave us one mouth. We need to be swift to hear, but slow to speak. And not only did he only give us one tongue, but he buried it beneath the thickest bone in our body. Right here. He buried it. And not only that, he enclosed it behind two rows of teeth to hedge it in. And that's what we need to do sometimes. We need to learn that God wants us to be swift to hear, but slow to speak. When we hear God's word, we need to be ready to humble ourselves before it. You know, the point is, God is the teacher. God is the one that can speak to us. We need to be swift to hear what he says, and we need to be very slow to answer. We don't answer back to the Lord. We need to humbly put ourselves in the place of learners, not teachers, before God. God is the teacher, and he talks, and we're to listen. That's what James is saying in verse 19. In trials, don't speak back to the Lord. I wonder how many of us have ever done that. We're in a trying situation. And we sometimes wonder if the Lord has forgotten all about us. We sometimes wonder if God is too busy with everyone else and he's too busy blessing everyone else to even be worried about me. And sometimes we can even speak back to God in our prayers and in our minds and in our hearts. James is saying, in trials and in testings, don't murmur against the Lord. You'll be slow to speak. Don't complain about the trial or the test. Be slow to speak. Don't argue with Almighty God. Be slow to speak. And don't blame God for your failures in that test or that trial. Be slow to speak. Be swift to hear and learn from Him. That's why He put you in the trial in the first place. So that we might learn of Him, and that we might be conformed to His image, and that we might be perfected, and that we might lack nothing. So we need to be swift to hear, but very slow to speak to the Lord. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Here Solomon gives us some wise counsel as we come before the Lord. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, let's begin in verse 1. of Solomon, in harmony with James in James chapter 1, tells us that we need to be learners before the Lord. We're not teachers to God, we're learners of Him. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. Now this doesn't imply that some of these men and women were losing their feet as they walked into the temple. But we might paraphrase this in modern English by saying, you watch your step when you come into the house of the Lord. That's what Solomon is saying. You keep your foot when you go into the house of God. And to apply it to our passage in James chapter 1, be very careful when we come to the throne of grace. When we come in the very presence of God, as were the Jews when they walked into the temple, God's advice is you be careful. You keep your feet. You watch your step. You keep your place. And he goes on and says, and be more ready to hear than to give a sacrifice of fools. For they consider not what they do, that they do evil. And he says in verse 2, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. That's the lesson we need to learn when we come into God's presence. We need to remember who we are. And when we're in trials, and when we're in temptations, and when we're in the testings of our faith that we all go through as Christians, be swift to learn something from the Lord. As Solomon says, be more ready to hear. And I believe this is the passage James had in mind when he wrote verse 19 in his epistle. When you come before the Lord, be ready to hear. Be eager to hear. Be swift to hear. But don't be rash with your mouth. And you know, we can be very rash with our mouths sometimes. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, if you look down in verse 5, he says, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. He's speaking here about men and women who came into the temple. And here they were in the very presence of Almighty God, and some of them were speaking out and making all kinds of claims to the Lord. They were being rash with their mouths. Instead of coming in humility and wanting to learn, they came in, and some of them were making wild vows unto the Lord. Oh God, I'll never fall. Or oh Lord, I'll walk with you the rest of my days. And they were making all kinds of vows, and some were even putting curses on their heads. And oaths. Solomon says, don't do that. And we need to remember that too when we're in trials and testings. Don't ever make a vow to the Lord that you don't intend to keep. Oh God, if you end this trial today, then I'll be a missionary in Africa. Don't ever say that unless the Lord has called you. The worst thing you'd ever want to bring upon yourself is to be a missionary in Africa if the Lord didn't call you there. Or don't ever say, I'll never fall in this trial, or I can take anything you can hand me, Lord. Don't ever say anything like that. Be slow to speak. And here's another thing we need to learn when we're in trials about being slow to speak and being rash with our mouths before the Lord. Let's be careful with how we pray when we're in trials. It's so easy for us to jump on things when we're in trials. For example, if you ever prayed something, Lord, if you just end this trial today, I don't care how you have to do it, just do it. Or Lord, if you'll get me out of this awful situation, I don't care if you have to take my life or take his life or burn the place down, just get me out of this trial today. Don't ever say that to God. Remember, as Solomon says, God is in heaven and we are on earth. Be not rash with your mouth when you come into the presence of Almighty God. You know, it says in the book of Proverbs that he that is hasty in his words, there's more hope of a fool than for him. It says also in the book of Proverbs that in the multitude of sin, in the multitude of words, there's no lack of sin. It says also in the book of Proverbs that even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. It says also in the book of Proverbs that he that keeps his mouth keeps his life. But he that opens his mouth opens it unto destruction. So James gives us some wise counsel, especially in light of trials and testings. Let's turn back there. When we come into God's presence, we're in a trial and a testing of our lives, when our faith is really being put on trial to see whether it's genuine or not, be swift to hear. Be eager to learn something from the Lord in that situation. That's why he put us there. And be very slow to speak to God. And be not rash with our mouths. But notice also in verse 19, he says, be slow to wrath. Be slow to wrath. Now, there are different kinds of anger in the Bible. There are different kinds of wraths in the Bible. The word used for wrath here means a strong and a slow and a deliberate and a steady indignation. And this is the kind of wrath that God has. You see, God doesn't simply lose his temper when someone sins. God doesn't flare up when something evil happens. God is always, constantly, steadily, powerfully, dead set against evil. And he never changes. So he doesn't flare up with anger. And James is telling us here that we need to be like that. We need to be slow to anger. Not to flare up with a temper. There's another word, thumos, which is often translated anger or wrath in the Bible. And that's the word from which we get our word thermal, which means heat. And it means passion. And it's a temper. It's a different type of an anger. James tells us when we're facing trials, when we're in temptations, and when we're in testings, and we hear a message from God's Word, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts, be ye swift to hear. But don't speak back to the Lord, and don't ever get angry. You know, we might think that, get angry at God. How can you get angry at God? Well, it happens all the time. When you're angry at the situation you're in, you're angry at God because he is the sovereign God who put you there. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, when we read the scriptures on our own, sometimes we can get angry. Perhaps the pastor may bring up a subject in the Bible that is a little touchy for you. Something that you were sort of hoping he'd gloss over and go on to the next verse. And we can get angry when these things are mentioned. You know what it says in 1 Peter? We are to put aside all malice and wrath and anger and then receive the milk of the Word of God. You see what has to take place before we can receive the Word of God, before we can be swift to hear? We need to lay aside all wrath and anger, even if it's anger at God. Get rid of it. Because of the situations the Lord allows in our lives, we need to come to the Lord with a meek and a calm and a quiet spirit, or we're not going to learn a thing from that test, from that trial. James says, be slow to wrath. And that indicates that we are not to overreact to the Word of God. We're not to be rash by getting angry. Now, some people may hear a Bible message and may disagree and fly off the handle. James says, be slow to wrath. Sometimes we hear a Bible message and we misunderstand what is being said. And perhaps something that we thought was being said really wasn't said, and we fly off the handle and we get angry. James says to be slow to wrath. During a time of trial, it's very easy to be touchy. It's very easy to be irritable. And it's very easy to be edgy, and we're prone to anger when we're under pressure. And that's what a trial is. It's when God is pressing down on us and we're to stay there patiently. Sometimes when that pressure is on us, it's very easy to be touchy and prone to get angry at God and men around us and the brethren. God says, be slow to wrath. This is what Jonah did. Do you remember at the end of the book of Jonah? Here was a holy man of God, a prophet, and he had the audacity to say to God, I do well to be angry. You see, Jonah was in a very trying situation. It's quite a trial to be swallowed by a great fish and sit in the belly for 3 days and be vomited up on the shore of the enemies. And then to have God tell you to go into these enemies who have tortured your people and your heritage for years and to tell them to repent and God will bless them. Jonah didn't want to do that. You see, Jonah was in a trial of his faith. Whether he was going to be a doer of the word or just a hearer only. He tried to be a hearer, but God wouldn't let him get away with it. And you see, in the end of that trial, Jonah was angry at Almighty God. And he was rash with his words. He was not at all slow to wrath. And you know, sometimes we're just like Jonah. God doesn't obey us sometimes. And sometimes when we snap our fingers, God doesn't jump. And that's exactly the situation Jonah was in. Have you ever been in that situation where perhaps you were praying for something and God didn't do what you wanted him to do, when you wanted him to do it, and how you wanted him to do it? And therefore we get irritable, we get angry, we get frustrated, and we can even get angry at Almighty God. God's advice to us in trials especially, all the time, these are words of wisdom, but especially in trials when we're so prone to be edgy and irritable, be slow to wrath. And here he gives us a good reason in verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now the righteousness here that James describes is not justification. It's not the fact that God imputes righteousness. He puts righteousness on our account. This righteousness of God is that character, that quality of rightness that belongs to Almighty God. And James is saying, when we're motivated by wrath, whatever we're doing, when we're motivated by wrath, the end result is not going to be righteousness. Now, very often we can cover our anger with righteous, so-called righteous zeal or religious zeal, and we can sort of cover up our real intentions and cover up our anger by saying that we're trying to get at the truth or we're trying to get to the bottom of this problem. And sometimes anger can lead us down all kinds of dead-end roads. But I'll tell you what we'll never find at the end of that road is the righteousness of God. That kind of anger does not produce the righteousness of God. And so, in a trial, we need to remember that God allows us to be in different situations in life to refine our faith, to strengthen our faith, to bring us into Christ's likeness, to perfect us. And when he allows these things to come upon us, there's going to be extra pressure at different times in our lives. There's going to be an extra hand of pressure weighing down upon us, upon our minds, upon our hearts, upon our inner being. And God says, in that condition especially, you be quick, you be swift to hear from the Lord. That's when God can really teach us. That's when we really need to grab a hold of the Word of God and obey it and do it and apply it to our lives. Be swift to hear it. And be very slow to speak back to God. Be very careful how we pray and the things we pray for. Be very careful about your relationship with other believers when you're going through a trial. And be slow to wrath. And in that, the Lord will bring you to maturity. He promises. And he promises to give us all the wisdom we need if we ask. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the promises in thy word. Know, Lord, that we all go through trials at different times in our lives. And Father, some are greater than others, some are longer than others. And, but Lord, in all of them, we know that we need your wisdom. We need your strength and your help. And Father, help us to be swift to hear. And slow to speak and slow to wrath. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One verse of one song. Sean. Okay. My country, 'tis of thee. Let's stand and sing verse 1.